It's a blessing. It's like these little, there's a Pendle Rocks thing up here on the podium here this morning, and Duplin Rocks too, okay? Duplin Rocks too, we're mighty close. But if you'll look around, these little rocks have been around in a lot of places. And I tell you what, there's some motivational little tools of God. These rocks are shaped and defined, and we can't even, you know, it ain't something that we made, it's something that nature made. And now they're painting them and putting messages on them and Christian messages all over these rocks and putting them out in different places. If I see them, I leave them. I just kind of push it over to the side. I leave them, even if it's on the shelf or something else it's supposed to be, I'll make place for it. I just want to leave it there. Because touched by God, there's many ways that we get that. So today I'm going to sing "He Touched Me" by William J. Gaither. Did this, he wrote this song. So please bear with me. That means the play. Shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I'm no longer the same. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior, since He cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise Him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me. Oh, He touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me
Well, He's touched each and every one of us if we're Christians. Amen. There's a time in our life, in every day of our life, that we need Him. Amen. We can't do it without Him. And today I want to talk to you about, are we listening to God? You see, He's touched us. Amen. He's been there. He's done things for us that none of us can ever imagine. Amen. And sometimes we can't even see it for looking. That's right. We tend to overlook those things. You see, you woke up this morning. Your alarm clock worked. Your car started for you to come to church. The lights are on inside the church. A piano player showed up to play. Amen. Amen. Somebody's having a bad day. Y'all hear it. Many years ago, there was a small-time farmer and rancher who was busy taking care of his sycamore fig trees and tending to the sheep while the big world around him was carrying on business as usual. You see, today I'm going to talk to you about a man named Amos. He never thought of himself as a man of the cloth. He had never been to seminary, never had any teachings, and he never sat at the feet of one of those religious teachers of his day. He was just happy doing what he normally did. He had never thought of a career change, but then something happened. He was touched. See, Amos found himself in the grip of God, and God filled his mouth with words that were not his own. You see, he couldn't hold them in no matter how hard he tried. How many times have God dealt with us and told us to go do something? And we just decided that on our own that we were not going to do it. And later on you found yourself doing the very thing you said you weren't going to do because you didn't trust God the first time. I could go on about several things about myself. But it's not about me here. It's for all of us to think about what has God asked us to do. Are we listening to what God is saying? You see, he couldn't go back to tending sheep no matter how bad they needed him. And the sycamore figs would just have to wait until somebody else got there to tend to them. See, there was a message that was given to Amos, and that he had declared to the nations, the lion had roared. And the nations were standing at attention. The word of the Lord had to be spoken. Turn in your Bibles with me to Amos chapter 2, verse 4 through 8. While you're turning the Bibles to Amos 2, 4 through 8, a little bit of the Sunday school lesson kind of went along with that about listening to God and doing the things that the last little bit that I had heard, you know, it kind of all goes back to being faithful to God. We never know where our life is going to end up. We never know what things are going to happen to us. We never know where God is going to place us. And we just must remain faithful to what He has done and is doing with us. And to our community. If you already have Amos 2, chapter 2, verse 4 and 8, please stand as we read God's word. I'm reading out of the New King James Version, but the Bible says, thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Judah and for four, I will not turn away its punishment. There will still be punishment for that, is what he was saying. Because they have despised the law of the Lord and have not kept his commandments. Their lies have led them astray. Lies which their fathers followed. But I will send a fire upon Judah, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Israel and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they sell the righteous for silver and the poor for a pair of sandals. They pant over the dust of the earth which is on the head of the poor and pervert the way of the humble. And a man and his father go in to the same girl to defy my holy name. They lie down by every altar on clothes taken in pledge and drink the wine of condemned in the house of their God. Let us pray. Lord, I just pray today that you see here that in the times of Amos, that they have gone against God. They have done things and worshiped these idols that is unbecoming of a Christian. And as we see our land today, there's not much difference. We see people today that have taken your name in vain, that are doing things against you, Lord, and some are even calling themselves preachers. Lord, just pray today that you be with this congregation and us as we hear your word, that they may see it fit for their need. Lord, I just pray in your name. Amen. You may be seated. See, Amos lived in a Judean hill country in the southern kingdom when Israel was divided into Israel in the north and Judah in the south. See, he lived in a small town of Tekoa, I might have said that wrong, just south of Bethlehem, you see. And he was a contemporary or likeness of Isaiah and Hosea. These men were speaking the same message at the same time given by the same God. You see, God just had that same message going throughout the land. Economic prosperity was widespread. The market was soaring. The economy level was higher than it had ever been in generations past. The threat from enemy nations was simply there was none. Because the superpowers of Assyria and Egypt were at rest. They were at peace with one another. Or they weren't doing anything about it. The people were enjoying their time, going about their business and enjoying their success, not worrying about God, basically. Life was good according to Amos 3:15. It says life was good, or so they thought. You see, their churches were full. The offering plates were piling high. The money was running over. The religious leaders of the day just didn't challenge the people to live for the Lord. They didn't care if all else was good. They weren't pushing the other stuff. They weren't pushing away the idols of the day. They didn't preach about sin and repentance. They just enjoyed the good times. Today, church, I'm going to tell you that the church that doesn't talk about sin and repentance is talking about the good times only. You see, we can't go on living life the way it is. We as Christians have to make a difference. We as Christians have to go out and spread the word that God has given us. And everybody has an opportunity to do that. There's just different ways. We all have a part in it. You see, the preacher saw the shrines and the altars to false gods. And he didn't want to ruffle the feathers, you know. We didn't want to do something different. We didn't want to scare the people off, you know. So they let their altars be for other gods. You see, they were plentiful in everything, you know. The merchants in the streets or whatever, they were just as busy. They were had good seasons, and it was like Walmart during the holiday season. You see, they were just booming. They thought they had everything, but they didn't have the one thing they needed. You see, but religious songs were being sung on every corner. The people were living in luxury. And so God gave the message to Amos, Hosea, and Isaiah. And it was different than what the people were expecting. You see, they thought they were living okay. They thought they were good in what they were doing. Prosperity was understood by everyone in the land of to be a sign of God's favor. You see, they were saying that they thought that God had blessed them, but they weren't worshiping Him. They weren't being faithful to Him. There was abundance of priests and shrines, and they said it was a sign that everything was going well, but that's not what God was thinking. You see, God could see that inner part there. Church, it's time that we're not playing church, that we're being truthful, because God can see what the real time is. He can see what is really going on. You see, God was watching, and while the market soared and the people were getting rich, there was folks that were suffering in the lowlands there. And those who had money could hire the best to represent them and get them out of court scot-free, you know, kind of like the Johnny Cochran of that day. Those that were poor would just throw them wherever. Nobody could do anything about them. The churches were so full that building campaigns were talked about in all the churches. You see, they needed made more room for the people that were coming to church. You said, well, Sammy, I thought if I come to church, that's all I had to do. Well, that's what these people thought too. They were so busy building these elaborate structures that they never even recognized that their neighbors were struggling. Hence the movement in Watha to have a Watha Community Day. It's everywhere. But we're in Watha. We're going to make that difference here first. They were struggling. They didn't have any place to eat, place to live, and didn't really have that sense of security. You see, those that had were not content with what they had. They wanted more. They just felt like they couldn't be satisfied. Does that sound like anybody we know? We're never thankful for what we have. The hired workers had no other options, but they paid them hardly anything. You see, they had to work. They had to go out and work. It's about like some of our businesses now paying these people pennies to go out and do work. Well, they call that the minimum wage these days. Who can live off of $7.25 or $7.50 an hour? They lied and cheated and stole in order to prosper. Oh, but they never missed church on Sunday. They were there every time the doors opened. But it's time the lion roars. God said He had had enough. He wasn't going to continue on and let the hell come on the land. And that's what was happening. Satan was taking over. Satan was being a part of that. You see that they just thought that they were doing the right thing. That's why church is important, that you know difference in right and wrong. Amos was a true believer. He was a man of faith. He knew it wasn't possible to walk in the presence of the living God on the Sabbath and then walk the rest of the week just however you wanted to in the world. We can't just come to church on Sunday, be all hunky-dory on Sunday, and the rest of the week live like hell. You can't do it. The lion continues to roar with the same authority and volume as in the days of Amos and throughout history. You see, God lets us know that He ain't putting up with that. He's letting us know that just because it's happening, don't say that they're getting away with it. As you see in Amos here, that they're not going to go unpunished. Our land is not going to go unpunished. These people to continue sinning and continue to say they're living for God but are not, as we can see, they're going to be punished. They're going to have to answer for that. We must always ask the Lord to show us our hearts and how we should live. There shouldn't be a day go by that we don't ask Him to be a part of whatever we're a part of. Amen. It doesn't matter what we're doing. It doesn't matter what occupation we have. Right. We're going to see people every day. Yes. And if you don't see that many people during the day, that's your quiet time to be with God. Amen. Gary, while you're on the tractor. Or Mickey, while you're helping customers getting their car fixed or vehicle fixed. It's that open window that we had. Miss Dina's are coming in the cleaners. Maybe not the lady we had the day I was there. But still, there's a time for us. We see people, and we are given this opportunity to spread the word of God because, listen, the lion roars. Yep. God will speak through you if you allow Him to.
Amen.
Let me repeat that. God will speak through you if you allow Him to.
Amen.
He will give you those words. He will give you that opportunity. Our problem is that we're so stuck in our ways. Hold on, I didn't mean to say it. Yes, we're so stuck in our ways that we don't want to hear nothing else. You see, when Amos arrives on the scene, he has a mouthful of words from the Lord God Himself. You know, I'm sure he doubted and said, there's no way that I can do this because I haven't had any teaching. There's no way that I can do this for you, God, because I've only been this lowly farmer out here, the shepherds. And I want to tell you that if you look in your Bible, there's a lot of times that the shepherds, come on now, that the shepherds were, not shepherd, me shepherd, but the shepherds, as in the sheep herders, were brought forth more, as we saw that in the birth of Jesus. I spoke about that one Sunday, how they were used, because God didn't go to these well and mighty people of the land. He used everyday people like me and you. Out there struggling, trying to make things happen. We got to go out and work and we got to do this, but we don't have to forget who our God is. No matter what we do and in what situation we're put in, we don't have to remember who our God is. You see, the people of Israel are listening to the charges that he's bringing against Israel and Judah. He pointed out the sins of Damascus and the people of God said amen. He pointed out the sins of Gaza and the people shouted hallelujah. He brought charges against Moab and the people of God wagged their heads in disgust of their devilish neighbors. And then Amos turned and looked at the crowd and spoke to these spine-tingling words from the mouth of the lion. He said, for three sins of Judah, even for four, he is letting those in Judah know that they have sinned upon sin. And God has been patiently calling them back to himself, but they would not listen. So the lion roars. Now, why is the lion that word has just left me. Why is it so important? There you go. Why is the roar of the lion so important? Because a lion devours its prey. God ain't going to let them go out there and keep doing those things. That he's not going to devour that bad word, that bad thing that is happening. He's not going to leave any left there, because they're either going to be filled with him through God the Holy Spirit, or they're not going to be anything left. He's going to fill them with his word. You see, what was Judah's sin? Judah had sinned in rejecting the law of God and not keeping his decrees and commands. They weren't living the way God had called them to live. They were going to church on Sunday. Every time the door opened, being a part. But were they living the way God wanted them to? And that answer is no. You see, God brought charges against his people. They had been led away by false gods. How many of you today has something in your life that has taken you away from church, that has taken you away from your worship, that has taken you away from your Bible time, that has taken you away from your prayer time? Those are gods if we put them before our big G God. You see, when God's bringing charges up against Judah, their neighbors, the Israelites to the north, patted themselves on the back and said, oh, they thought they were good. And then the Lord says, for three sins of Israel, even for four, I will not turn my back my wrath. They're going to be in trouble too. You see, what's this? That's that pointing fingers right there, and can see the three coming back right at them. See, they thought they were pointing fingers at them, thought that they were being better than everybody else when they had the same problems that they were dealing with. Stepping on my toes up here this morning. We have all got something that we're not happy about. We have all got something that takes us away from worshiping our God. Don't let it hinder your life that it changes who you are as a Christian. Don't sacrifice the blood of the Lamb that so much sacrificed for us. You see, God says they sell the righteous for silver and the needy a pair of sandals. They trample on the heads of the poor. They deny justice to the oppressed. Father and son are using the same girl for their own pleasure. They lie down beside every altar. Altars not to the one true God. They drink the wine of their false gods and have obtained by issuing fines. In other words, they're stealing it. Church, I want to tell you, God is not pleased in the way that the people in our day are living their life. There's some churches out there and that are just doing terrible. And I'm not trying to sound ugly. I'm just trying to tell you that people are coming to church every day. And some churches coming to church every day that will never enter the gates of heaven. That will never see that part of their life, because their life has been a lie. It's time today, church, to get right with God. You only know how you're living your life. You and God only know how you're doing. You can tell everybody you're doing fine. You can tell everybody that you're doing the best that you've ever done, and that's fine. I hope that that's the truth. I'm not here to judge you in what you're saying. I'm here to say that you and your God and our God, you guys only know. We only know by what we say. He knows the truth. I'm here to tell you, don't be like the Lamb of Amos, that he had to go tell those people that thought that they were doing right, that they were not, that they were worshiping other gods, that they didn't put the true God number one. You see, Amos was just being obedient. as we may not go out and teach and preach and do those things, there are things that God can use us for. Today, it doesn't matter what we're doing. It doesn't matter what career field we have done or been or doing now. God can use us. God has a plan for us. You say, well, Sammy, I'm getting up in age. There's no way I can do anything else. I believe Miss Edith at 95 could go out there and talk to someone and encourage them that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. It doesn't matter who we are, what our age is, God can use us. And let me ask you this final question. Have you been listening to God? Let us pray. Lord, we're just so thankful for all the things you have done. Lord, so thankful for Amos because of that person that you have used to be a carrier of the message for you. Be your mouthpiece. Lord, he was just like everyday person, just like all of us here today. But what we see is that we can be used. But another thing we see is that the land is worshiping other gods. They're not worshiping you, Lord, the one true God. They have not put you on that pedestal. Same as our land today. We have many idols in our life. We have many things in our life that has carried us away. And Lord, I just pray today that if anybody in here does not know you the way that they should know you, I pray today's the day that they make that change. Today they make that change to be a Christian, to be that mouthpiece for you. As you give those words to Amos to go teach and preach and tell the land that they were sinning. I pray today that each and every one of us here today are able to do the same thing. I pray that we're able to get that wake-up call. Get that time of revelation that we need, that change. Lord, without you, we are nothing. But with you, all things are possible. In your name we pray. Amen.